I want to go to my very special guest, and he's been on the show before. And before I remind you of his name and what he's done for a living, I would just like to say that this is a guest who would never make this mistake.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
Judge Douglas Ginsburg definitely knows the thing. Judge, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Ross, for having me back. I enjoyed talking to you before as well.
Judge Douglas Ginsburg was the chief judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, and he is the host of a fascinating three-part PBS television series called A More or Less Perfect Union. I'll have information about it up on my blog, and you can go to pbs.org and just look for A More or Less Perfect Union, and the stuff is streaming now, and you can find it if you check your local listings as well. Before we get to the Constitution and all that stuff, I need a ruling from you, Judge, on something very important.
Okay.
And you are going to be, as George W. Bush would have put it, the decider. I got a very distressing text from my nephew, Nick, who says, I even hate to say this, he says that brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts are better than blueberry Pop-Tarts. I need a ruling.
Well, blueberry has a lot of antioxidants. I'd go with the blueberry, Ross.
Yes! Yes! All right. That's why you're my favorite judge. You heard it, Nick. Nick is listening in North Carolina right now, I think. Nick, you heard the answer from the former chief judge of the second highest court in the United States of America. All right, I have a serious question for you now.
Sure.
I have for years had significant concern about the accumulation of power in the executive branch and members of Congress ceding their authority to the executive branch, sometimes when members of one party just want a president and the other party to do what they were going to do anyway, and sometimes because they just don't want to take responsibility for decisions. How afraid are you of this trend? I mean, if you even agree with me that it's a trend. And what do you think can be done about it?
Well, I guess I think we're beyond the point where it's a trend. It's a deeply rooted problem that we need to address. The Congress has repeatedly passed very broad aspirational statutes, let's have clean air or clean water or whatever the subject, and then delegated the authority to an executive agency to promulgate rules that have the force of law and to enforce those rules and to then judge whether somebody has violated those rules. So they're combining not just a legislative power, but legislative and executive, which is prosecution, and judicial, because they're making judgments about whether someone's violated the law and imposing fines. So the result is that in the recent Congress, there were 18 more times as many rules with the force of law put out by agencies as there were actual laws passed by the Congress. So we no longer have the Congress as our primary lawmaking body. It's really, they've delegated authority and avoided responsibility. They can pass a statute with a very lofty goal, and then when achieving that goal turns out to be costly and burdensome, the burden has to fall on some citizens or companies, they don't have to take responsibility for that. A constituent might write to them and say, my factory has to close down, I can't comply with these stringent rules or what have you, and the congressman can say, well, that's terrible, I'll write a letter to the EPA, which of course will not do any good. And so they avoid responsibility for their own actions. There's another provision of the Constitution, the first one being the putting all legislative authority in the Congress. There's another one that says that the Senate has to approve a treaty by a two-thirds majority. Well, so recently presidents have concocted what they call executive agreements. So, this isn't a treaty. I don't have to submit it to the Senate. I can just agree with a foreign government about this. Well, that's fine if they're talking about where to put a visa office. But the deal with Iran had all the hallmarks of a treaty. It was a huge event, and it was not submitted to the Senate. But worse, there were very few senators who complained about that, who wanted to vote up or down and take responsibility. Very few. So we're in a sad pass here, and the public needs to be more concerned about it. If we can get civics education back on in a prominent place in the curriculum for middle and secondary schools, it will go a long way. And that's what a more or less perfect union is supposed to do. I mean, this TV series is also the basis for a whole semester of materials that are used in classrooms. They've been sent out to 170,000 teachers, Ross, teachers of history and of civics around the country, who've signed up to get these materials. And I really am encouraged. I've learned in the last few weeks that that Illinois has passed a law requiring civics in every high school. And
wow.
The governor of Florida has directed the same thing for every high school in Florida. So the tide may be turning back. We've got a whole generation of young people who are quite ignorant about where their liberties come from, how they're protected by the Constitution. And they can slip away. They've been slipping away because the public is uninformed. So
I'm told by a friend of mine who until recently taught in Denver public schools that Denver public schools just eliminated their requirement for a semester of American history in order to graduate from high school. So it's not going the right way everywhere, but I'm glad it's going the right way somewhere. And as far as young people today not knowing where their liberties come from or a word they might use more often, their rights, it's not just that they're not being told about natural law and the Constitution and the Magna Carta and John Locke and all that. I mean, they're being taught Rousseau, and they're being taught that rights are given by government. And I would like, if you could, to explain on a first principles kind of basis why it is dangerous to believe that rights come from government.
Well, there are basic fundamental rights that come by virtue of being a human being. And we call them natural rights. You referred to natural law. The Declaration of Independence talks about unalienable rights. The Revolution was founded on restoring, protecting our unalienable rights from an oppressive foreign government. And, you know, until the Constitution was passed and ratified and the Bill of Rights was added, do you think people thought, oh, I don't have any rights because there isn't a Bill of Rights yet? Of course not. They had the rights that they'd always had. The Bill of Rights was a way of assuring that they had a way of containing, cabining the government from invading those rights. But sure, if you start to believe that rights, for instance, the right to own property or liberty, your freedom to move about, are the creatures of government. Well, if government gave them, then government could take them away. And for whatever reason, not for a legitimate reason. So it's a very dangerous idea, but I know it's a loose. It is a foot in the land, and we need to counter that. Now the series, The More or Less Perfect Union, deals with everything that you mentioned: unalienable rights, John Locke. These are the core things that people need to know about.
Look, any series that has Janice Rogers Brown in it is going to be awesome. as if you weren't enough, Judge. But
Janice, Judge Brown was my colleague for many years on the Court of Appeals, and she makes one statement. My very favorite sentence in the entire 3 hours of the program is her saying, quote, "The Constitution is not what the Supreme Court says. The Constitution is the Constitution."
I love it.
Yeah.
Folks, I want you to look up online, Google search or whatever you use, A More or Less Perfect Union. Of course, you can go to pbs.org and search for it there as well. It's a three-part, very important series hosted by Judge Douglas Ginsburg, who was the former chief judge of the Circuit Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. The first episode is A Constitution in Writing. The second is A Constitution for All. The third is A Constitution at Risk. Indeed, it is. Judge, the next time you're on the show, I want to talk about positive versus negative rights, okay?
Great. Love to do it. Thank you,
thanks
Ross.
So much for being here, and thanks again for your great work with a more or less perfect union.
Thanks very much for giving me the opportunity.